Hello and welcome everybody to Street Fight Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We are the number one anarcho comedy show on any station across the nation. We do it here from Columbus, Ohio, the 614 area code. Basically, if you're inside that 270 outer belt, you can get our show on the airwaves every single Sunday at 10 p.m. WCRS also hosts many amazing shows like Ragtime, the Bollywood Music Show. There's the Progressive Grind with Icy J on Friday nights for all of the best hip-hop, dance, and electronic that's going on right now. There is Democracy Now! During your drive time for your news. Amy Goodman still does a great job. And so much more happening over on the WCRSFM.org. For those of you that want to listen to over 5 years of content from Street Fight, go to WCRSFM.org, click on Programs, then Street Fight, and that's our whole archive is listed right there. We thank them for putting up with us for this long, continuing to do so, and putting this level of dissent out there. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby, and we're ready to tear shit up. This is our time now. It's like time to awaken.
Yeah, it sounds like our time for kicking like Nazi ass and stuff like that. Like everybody, and now everybody's talking about whooping Nazis' asses. I don't feel so crazy anymore.
Sure, people are like, you need to be strong enough to tear a Nazi's head off its shoulders, okay?
Yeah,
and I'm like, I agree.
Yeah, I'm seeing so many leftists like be like, maybe we should get guns and like learn the martial arts. And I'm like, I love this. This is a new, because like all the gun people on the right just get guns. If we buy guns and learn martial arts, we're like one step above them. And it's a lot more humane to beat the crap out of somebody than it is to kill them.
That's the last resort. We're guns as last resorts people. Yeah. We're not pacifists. We're guns as last resorts people.
It's one step one, talk. We're going to have a conversation. Step two, we yell at them. A lot of yelling, but still a respectful conversation.
And this is, and we go to yelling when they're on the verge of breaking the NAP.
Yeah. Yeah. Step three, insults. This is when the yelling just turns into insults, and it, you know, sometimes insults
threats
work.
Maybe vague threats.
Yeah,
slip,
yeah,
in, yeah, about what you might do to somebody.
Yeah, sometimes insults work like that. That really, like, people are always like, once you start calling people names,
you might as well be throwing hands.
But if you once you call somebody a name, you prove my point for me. You resorted to an ad hominem attack. You know what I mean? Like, once you start insulting, they're like, this discussion is done. Well, but maybe they think for a few minutes afterwards, like, man, I really did sound like a stupid idiot.
Well, you know, this actually happened. This went down in Austin, Texas. There was a White Lives Matter protest for the opening of an African-American museum. And about 1,000 times, I'm reading, I thought it was just 4 times, but people said there was literally like less than 100 people there and about less than 100 neo-Nazis there doing White Lives Matter protests and but like 400 anti-protesters that were just basically screaming at these people to go away.
I mean, it is a very small amount of number that would protest the opening of an African-American history museum.
Yeah, it's the worst. And they're hiding behind the cops. The cops are standing there with sticks and gloves and gloves. They got the like the scary gloves.
Gloves.
Though.
They have gloves.
Extra
with spikes in them.
Extra hurdy gloves.
Well, yeah.
Armor plated gloves.
Gloves they got, are scary.
They got on those rollerblade elbow guards and shit. So you can't even get anything. You can't even get them in the funny bone. Like they are impenetrable. And so they're standing in front of them. But there was another element, and this is a new, very new, and they were quick to do this. The Red Guard was in Austin, Texas. These were some young folks that had red flags over their face that had a sickle and hammer on them. They look like Cobra Commander, basically, with the blue veil thing, but this is a red communist veil.
Yeah, that's a really good veil, like the communist veil thing, because like when we ran into the communists at the Republican National Convention, the communists showed up. A bunch of communists showed up, but they were all like, man, they're like 19 and 20 and stuff. One of them smoking a cigar and like trying to do the Che or the Fidel Castro. Like he's doing a gimmick. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's trying to get laid.
Well, but they're making, you know, all the decent communist points and yelling, but ain't a single a Trump person's never going to take that person seriously.
Yes, yes. And this is, you know, there was actually an interesting, they put out an explanation of why they were there. Basically, there's been violence with Nazi protests before, and these people have ramped it up since the Trump election, and they're not going to sit around and just be a victim of these assholes. And anybody that has a problem with it, fuck off.
They look like a rad Cobra commander.
Yeah, it is.
That's the whole cost, because they're just flags of. They need a better mask. Let's get them a mask. Let's see if, like, could somebody out there make these guys a mask and send them, and then say that it was our suggestion.
Well, we'll work on the costume side. I mean, you know, the thing about it is, there is a meeting in Columbus, Ohio, that I will be attending. If you want to go and link up with the Democratic Socialists of America, I know people already hate them, but I'm just going to go and check it out for myself. And I invite anybody in Columbus to be there. A good buddy of mine, Almighty Prismo, the guy that came up with Sad Brian, is helping organizing the event, and he's a big part of it. And I trust the hell out of that guy, and I trust the hell out of Larry website. So I think that now is, you know, a time where we have to be out there, and the way that people are doing Nazi salutes, I'm seeing videos of Nazi salutes. It keeps ramping up. Like, this stuff has to be stomped out of existence. It doesn't just get legislated out of existence.
It's just a lot of glowing. It's a lot of like quizzical, like guys being like, these are some interesting people. A bunch of Nazis are out doing some Nazi stuff.
A man with a velvet scarf so that I should take another look at the skull measurements. He's put together.
Yeah, the NPR. I saw Cade yelling at NPR the other day, like, hey, you know, why are you having a Nazi on your channel? Which is a valid question, really. If she, like, any of these guys that are Nazis, let's every time those guys get, I mean, why are we even talking to them?
Well, exactly. But here, I'll tell you why. I've got two answers for you. Okay, so this is a follow-up from we talked about last week. Why are people protesting? I saw people came out and said, what is it? How much are these fuckers getting paid? This must be a big check to get this many people in the streets.
Paid,
right?
Protesting.
Paid protesting.
They call it paid protesters. Like, nobody's getting paid. No. I've been to too many protests to know that, like, nobody's getting paid there.
Well, that person has then moved on to the theory of, like, look what happens. Richard Spencer, they're shoving him into the spotlight. They're trying to make him the guy just to admonish the name of the alt-right. They're going to call us all neo-Nazis just because we're alt-right. So they're saying that it's like he's a pariah, like some sort of setup man, like a paper tiger, so that alt-right now becomes synonymous with neo-Nazi.
Well, I mean, it worked. They seem like Nazis to me. I mean, I haven't had a lot of contact with them. I guess they sound pretty racist to me. Anytime, like, they're being mentioned, it's with racism. And anytime I've encountered them, like, some of my tweets will get to the alt-right. I don't know if it's my name or my look in my avatar.
Sure.
Like, I don't give them any indication that I'm not into white pride. You know what I mean? You'd have to read the bio, and even then they'd be like, this guy, look at this racist.
We could get him. We could get him on our side. He's just a fucking carny anyways. If white pride becomes the hottest thing, he'll be on the new MTV VJ.
Yeah.
He'll be for the youth.
Yeah, they're always like I posted a joke about Glenn Beck wants to get invited to George Clooney's parties. Right? That's
wow.
Why I think he's pulling this. That's what the gimmick is, right? And that got an alt-right Twitter.
What'd they do?
And a guy
How many
was just
horrible,
like, oh,
homophobic things did they call him?
Well, it was basically like, oh, well, I guess, you know, George Clooney's family were known communists. And then, like, another guy was like, and I think there's some Jewish in, or like, they,
oh,
they were
no.
Bringing,
and then they, like, in they're my always mentions. Counting people's blood and shit. They're always in people's blood.
I know. They can't, they always
they can't
bring
help
it, up.
It. They're like, yeah. Well, here's the thing. We can know what's happening if we break it down racially. Like, they're always jumping there as it's supposed to some sort of indication of behavior.
There's no other way to categorize people other to than them. By their race.
Right. For alt-righters.
Yeah, yeah.
But blacks, you know, they're this, you know, it's just it's always that.
Yes.
Asians, yeah. You can never, you know, it's just, they count everybody and they just can't stop it. It's just an addiction. It's a fucking white people disease problem. And I still do it. I just try to do it in a healthier way, or like in a way that makes me look bad in the end. I like to make it a bad time for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I just know it's not.
You respectfully acknowledge everybody's race.
Sure.
They hate people based on their race, and you automatically respect people based on their race.
Sure. I pick a different reason. Like, I'm like, what's the best thing about your race? And then I just imagine you're all like that. I do like the reverse racism.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, man, it is really nuts listening to people arguing about whether guys are Nazis now. Because, like, it seems like it just came out. It does seem like it. I mean, my corner of Twitter is always fighting with Nazis. It's just like, that's part of the experience, is seeing people rile up Nazis sometimes.
Yeah, it seemed like more of a radical thing. For me, what I was saying is that, like, the coverage of it was, I can see alarmists. People were like, these are Nazis, when it first started bubbling up, when people were talking about the alt-right. And I'm like, okay, I understand for my dad and for other people, it's whatever. But today a Guardian video came out where they were doing fucking Zig Heils and shit at this National Policy Institute. And yeah. It was the fucking most grossest thing I've ever seen. It just unallowed. I wanted to break all those people's fucking hands.
It sounds like a Nazi government. It really, it flips me out. These guys are in suits. I saw this story about CNN, and it led me to this quote I got off of Deadspin, which also is something they're quoting. So it's pointless. But Richard Spencer, he's the man who actually coined that term, alt-right. He was in Washington this weekend. He was spewing, as he often does, what I can only describe as hate-filled garbage of Jews, Spencer said. One wonders if these people are people at all, or instead soulless gullum. That's what he was saying at that thing when they were doing that. Yeah. Was part of his speech. And it was like, this dude just asked if Jews are people. Like, that is one of the things that the Holocaust people did. That was, I listened in school, okay? I paid attention in history
to that
class.
Stuff.
Well, I don't run around talking about it a lot, but it's one of the main things you learn.
There's no goddamn dust up. And I've been fed Pearl Harbor movie after Saving Private Ryan, after every Clint Eastwood. I've been wrapped up in Nazi killing shit. And to think that it's even acceptable blows my fucking mind. It's like, if we're gonna get the baby boomers, the lost generation, to switch to Nazism,
they're just
fucked.
Not wearing suits. Is all it really? They're just not. I mean, they're just not wearing like
ascots.
Fatigues. No, I'm saying
they don't. Oh,
they don't look scary because they look like. I mean, they dress like hip dorks. You know what I mean? Like the hip political guys.
Yes. They have brogued leather shoes.
Yeah. And the main guys just get out there. We would never have let them before be like, hey, let's get, I mean, if the president's friends with these people, we should think about the, I mean, this president thing now. We elected a Nazi.
Yeah, we have a guy that hangs out with a bad crew.
Yeah, we were a bad judge of character this time.
Yeah, but how do we get those people to swallow that? Because the problem is they want to have the Electoral College just flop in the way of Hillary. And I'm like, that's bullshit. We're not doing that shit. I'd rather see a fucking military coup.
Yeah.
You can't just, everybody picked Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We either have to swallow it or throw America out altogether.
Well, I mean, I've seen people bring up the possibility of a coup, and it's like, ooh. I don't know, man.
I really don't want to die for anybody else.
No.
I'll fight against something, but like, I don't have the best ideas, and the Trump people have their way of thinking that isn't mine, and I don't want to plow them over. I'm not trying to wipe people out because my ideas are better.
I just don't want them to have power at all.
Yeah,
none.
This is, we have to fucking disconnect all the power out of the hands of Trump people.
Yeah.
Trump voters.
Yeah, they do. They want to just, they're like, let's get rid of this thing. Let's get rid of the Electoral College. Like, man, we
no, are they love the Electoral College.
No, Trump, the Democrats.
All the Democrats do.
Are running around saying, I think we should get rid of the Electoral College. I think it seems like a sham.
They're
if
doing,
you ask me.
They're trying to do a Brexit. They're trying to reverse that Brexit.
Yeah, you can't, man. That yeah, they're like, you sure you guys don't want to try something else?
Like, yeah, they're like, we kind of have, I think we have a loophole in the Constitution that says somebody else could be president. You want to give it a shot?
I mean, anybody really else. Like, actually, I don't know how much say, even any of the other, I hate handing power to one guy like that.
Yeah.
Like, one, it offends my anarchist sensibilities so much to bestow that much power on one. I just think it's stupid.
Yeah, it does. It's not beneficial except for the people that like that. And they come with this boring ass Republican Draculas. It's the same old cruddy ass people that were around when your grandpa was voting to get union people have bricks thrown in their fucking face from Ronald Reagan. Yeah. Like, it's the same cruddy ass old private war profiteer piece of shit Republicans. Like, Jeffrey Sessions is the guy that was too racist in the 80s to get fucking a big high government job.
His story about being racist was like, somebody told me the story. I wish I could remember. I saw it a few times actually, where like Sam Knight reported on it, where he was like, I was going to join the KKK, but I found out a lot of them smoked marijuana.
No, he said the KKK is an all right bunch until I found out they smoked marijuana. I thought they were an all right bunch until I found out they smoked marijuana.
And so racist, man. That is a, I mean, wowie, because that we can't give him power at all. You
certainly
know?
This guy's opinion of marijuana shouldn't be held with any sort of authority. Why is that? That's not fucking fair to me. Stop. Why did I get claimed by this?
It's funny that like he really does embody the opinion that we think nobody has about marijuana.
Even the fucking idiot ass. Pretty racist people out there that voted for Donald Trump that aren't looking to genocide people still probably get fucking high.
Oh, I know a lot of people that are going to be really disappointed at Trump's weed politics. I'm going to tell you that. People that voted for Donald Trump that are going to be like, oof, okay, the weed stuff is bad.
I thought they said we were going to get it here. I thought we were going to get it, though.
Yeah.
No, shut it down.
No, you know who did that? Donald Trump. He put a guy in office that only doesn't like the KKK because they smoke weed.
So he got the KKK in the government with Steve Bannon, and now they're going to take care of the weed.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy to me that this is going, this, the weed stuff, he could really start, they could really roll back some progress here. That is what this fucking country is. It's just, they get to wipe away, like for 4 years now, another group gets to wipe away all the progress we've made, and we have to fucking start over. We'll be fucking asking Chuck Schumer for legal weed, like for the rest of our fucking lives. We're going to be fighting for this.
Yeah. Well, I think you know what it is for me. During the civil rights movement of the 60s, you know, Martin Luther King was out there making noise in the streets. Malcolm X was being radical. There was a lot of noise going on. But, like, one of the biggest heroes was Thurgood Marshall, and he was the lawyer of the bunch because every time they made noise, he had a court case to serve up that they could rule on while the fucking atmosphere was hot. You know, while people were mad and passionate about shit. And, like, as much as this against is my sovereign voluntarist sensibilities, I mean, we have to figure out a way to organize and get into that, because Democrats can't have control either. They fuck it up for everybody anytime they get a slice of power.
Yeah.
And the people that want to live in the Lena Dunham universe can fuck right off to their little country or island where that is, but it's not. I don't want them to be talking about how my life can go.
I'm willing to let them have the coasts.
Really. Yes.
I mean, okay,
exactly.
Guys.
Everybody's okay with that. We can deal with Trump in the middle. We want a civil war in the middle, or we need to carve it up in the middle. But the coast can belong to all the people that are inspired by John Oliver.
Yeah, it will fight here. Like, in the middle here, we'll deal with. Just let us deal with this. You know, you guys do. Like, you're right. Like, it doesn't affect. I mean, it doesn't offend. I could find Democrats, right? In Ohio, I could find communists. I could turn dads into communists here if you just gave me 5 seconds away from the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah, well, you know, and I, there's,
or if you just fucking listen, if you just put any if the Democrats had any like desire to get to people who are broke, like I care about poverty a lot. It seems like it's a really horrible thing to say that you like really that class is it's as important to me as identity. Like it's a part of your identity, and every single type of person in the entire world has to deal with being where they are financially.
Yeah.
You know, and if we don't start if we don't start like equalizing that out, then we're breeding ourselves out. Whatever, you know?
Well, I think I agree probably with a lot of the Trump people, the anti-NAFTA folks, in the way that I think there are bullshit ass jobs that you sit in front of computers and move shit around. It's electronic stuff. And those jobs are always going to be undervalued, even though they shouldn't be. But there are jobs that we had, manufacturing, that paid a lot because you took raw materials and turned it into something more valuable. And those jobs give people steady livelihoods that we had before we got rid of it. And now that we've gotten rid of it, we basically pay slave wages overseas to house these people to make our goods. And we pay to have it shipped over. And then the person works at Starbucks or Walmart and then gets assistance from the government. And that's bullshit. Like, I'm a syndicalist when it comes to the manufacturing of things, in that we do need to have, this is the type of stuff people want to work in coal. What if you said, make this solar panel instead, and it pays just as much as coal? Do you think they'd give a fuck long as they got to run a wrench?
Not even.
You get to use an air hammer.
We love coal so much. I just love I like putting my hands in the coal. It feels so good. No.
Oh, really? These solar panels are the wave of the future. And if you can turn a fucking wrench, we'll pay you $30 an hour to do it.
Yes. Yes. They do not. They create jobs, but they don't tailor jobs to anybody that works with their hands, I guess. I mean, there's always a bottom floor of it. You know, like everywhere I did all blue collar work. Pretty much until now, up until I quit the cable job. I was a roofer and I did all that stuff, but I also did office work, you know, and I always saw that like they're more, if they create jobs, they seem to want to create more office jobs, but there are people that can't work in an office.
Right.
Don't belong in an office. We shouldn't force people. They should not force guys like us into an office, Brett. And like, ideally for somebody, we would stop doing this and end up sometime in an office, you know?
I mean,
like that's what a lot of people like us fall back on. Well, I guess.
I mean, all I ever really wanted was to have a place to go to and make some fucking car part and have that be enough that I'm not completely fucking strung out from stress and anxiety about my financial situation.
Your job at Walmart. Like, you want to, because that's real. Those are the jobs that get created. You know, they create like a warehouse position so you can move the stuff that somebody else made around the country.
And,
you know, from one warehouse to go to a store, you know?
And the history is right there in everyone's faces. And, you know, Republicans and Democrats both move to, the only way they're going to move is to protect the money of the elite and the moneyed class. The manufacturers that make money by outsourcing all of our shit, all of our labor, those are the people that they protect. They don't notice how when, you know, cars stopped being made here, how it killed so many suburban places because there were other offshoots. You know, these are entire ecosystems and people do want to pitch in. You know, I'm a commie because I want to do some work and pitch into something where people take care of each other. And the United States government doesn't take care of me or anybody like me. It takes care of people that are at the top 10% of the income bracket. And all of them were fucking born into it. None of them started at the bottom where I was making fucking fast food pizza at 14 years old.
Absolutely. And that brings us to a guy from Twitter that we've hit a few times. He's like, we never even figure out what this guy does. You remember Josh Barrow, Brett? It's kind of like Sparrow, but it's Barrow.
Who is it?
Josh Barrow.
The name?
Yeah. Do you remember him? He's that guy that, like, okay, so you know exactly who it is. He's a senior editor at Business Insider and an MSNBC contributor and host of KCRW's Left, Right, and Center. So
I had no idea who he is.
So, yeah, I didn't know what he did. All I know him is from his really bad opinions on Twitter. And that was something he said this week that really it got at me. He goes, hey, remember when I said elites are important because the masses consist of idiots? And then he follows that tweet up with, because, you know, look what 46% of the country decided was a good idea. And I'm like, I want it. We're not making any of the decisions.
Half of us didn't vote.
That's what I think who he's talking about.
Well, I didn't have anybody I wanted to vote for.
I know.
You didn't give me any option I wanted to. And you never asked me if I wanted to be a part of this system where you choose a mommy or a daddy.
Yeah. Well, I think he's from elites. It's really, I think when you're an elite.
Oh, he is.
I think when you're an elite, it seems like they're doing a pretty good job. You know, like, oh, this was very good.
Yeah. It's not so bad. These people can't control themselves. You know, without somebody there, that's why they love their Dr. Oz and their Dr. Phil. They're just lost in the world. People like us know what the real situation is, honey.
Yeah, he's a dude that straight up calls the middle of the country flyover country. He said anytime he's in an airplane, he looks down and says, that's where they watch Two Broke Girls. And it's like, oh, man, I wish your plane would crash here and you would live. But then we didn't ever let you leave.
Yeah, he would become one of us.
Yeah, I hate that. I saw another guy named the Movie Bob. I don't even know who this fucking guy is, right?
Sounds important.
He's a movie critic.
The Movie Bob.
You know how this thing is now, man. Everybody's involved. Like all the comedians, like New Balance is involved in politics, you know, like and this guy, the Movie Bob, was expressing the same exact sentiment. Like, look, the elites actually have been making really good decisions. Now we handed it over to these idiots, the normal, you know, hoi polloi.
Yes.
And they screwed it up. And now we got Donald Trump. And you're like, how did Donald Trump get to the like? Why did the elites let Donald Trump get there then?
You control everything except for Donald Trump. You have literally control of everything besides Donald Trump, and he somehow took everything?
Yeah. They control the goddamn TV. They decide what goes on the damn TV. They could have been covering whoever else was running for president. I completely forget. They were all Ted Cruz, which they, I guess, but not as much as Donald Trump, man. They were running every one of his rallies. It was almost like it was they basically his campaign was a TV show that a lot of people really liked.
Pretty much.
They got caught up in it. They thought it was American Idol when it was election time. They're like, are we going to go vote on the end of this TV show? Who wins the TV show between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump? I'm picking Trump because he's a more charismatic dude. I want to see more seasons of Trump. I don't want to see any more seasons of Hillary Clinton. I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what happened is they thought that they had way more control or that it would be a pretty easy win with Hillary Clinton, which sucks. I mean, it would have been handed over to her and it just is boring. Like,
why didn't
boring
they, why
and they
didn't
just
they,
the tank slowly rolls over you.
Why didn't he? I just, you know, Josh, if the elites control so much, then maybe, like, does he think 54% of the country are the elites? Like, I just don't understand. I don't want them. He doesn't understand that Trump exists because we don't want them making decisions for us.
Yeah.
We hate that. I hate it. I don't know anything about what it's like to see water. There's this other tweet that says, if you walk out of your house and you see water, you're a liberal. If you walk out of your house and see cows, you're a racist.
Nice.
And I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah, fuck your water. You didn't earn it.
Yeah. Well, I don't want the water anyway. I mean, you can't drink none of that water.
That's true. It'll make you sick and crazy.
We got pools in Ohio, like all kinds of them, really. And we only really need them for a few months out of the year.
We only have to pay less than $1,000 a month for rent.
Yeah, it's great. It's cold as hell. It's uncomfortable all the time. But, you know, we got Morgan Spurlock rolling in here and doing doing gimmicks.
That was the big news. That was the big news this week. I saw it early because I did see his movie in the theaters with my wife, the one about the pomegranate juice. But
I saw that. I watched it not in theater. I could.
Me and my wife were
actually,
like.
Actually, I think I may have taken my wife to see. That might be a nut. No, I think we watched it. My wife and I went and saw Super Size Me in theaters. And we were like, you wouldn't believe it. That movie just changed my life. I'm not going to eat McDonald's every day anymore. I'm going to alternate with like Wendy's and Taco Bell and Arby's.
That's when the Baja menu at Taco Bell came out. When they're like, no, we throw like fresh onions on there.
Exactly. That is, yeah. So
he came rolling through. The word came around. There was a new franchise in town. It's called Holy Chicken. Brought to you by the guy that brought you Super Size Me and the advertising movie sponsored by Palm Wonderful and Sheets. And it was called Holy Chicken, and it was supposed to be this all natural, artisanal, you know, farm to table ish new chain.
Yes. And it sold chicken sandwiches. We are assuming that the Holy Chicken has to do with Christianity, with like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I think it seems like the obvious choice because these are the type of Prius drivers that would love to have something other than Chick-fil-A, because those waffle fries are too damn good. Nobody cares about their bigotry when it comes to fast food.
Yeah. And so people showed up at this place, and I'm getting a story up. It's very hard to find a story because
they found a sad story. I mean, I think some people were immediately turned off, but when you walked in on the wall, it said, these chickens are free range. And then it said under that, at most fast food places, they say it's free range, but that means it's just as bad as the way it was before. They haven't changed any of the standards. And then, so he's like ripping the veil off and kind of, it sounds like a shaming you.
Yeah, it sounds like you waited in line and you got a chicken sandwich and you handed somebody money and they lectured you.
Yes. Well, maybe for the opening weekend, Morgan Spurlock could stand there and just be like, you're a fucking fool. You probably think that's 100% post-consumer recycled product. You fucking idiot. I only have to do 5% to claim that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
You're a fucking sheeple. Go watch your TV. Go Netflix and chill, you fucking zombie. You corporate zombie. You came here to stuff your face. You didn't make any time to work out because you don't have any self-esteem.
Yeah, so here's kind of the from Columbus Underground. That's where we go here for all of our information.
It is still a good site. I wouldn't bash it. It still has the info.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Holy Chicken founder and documentary filmmaker Morgan Spurlock has made we don't need to know about that. The small amount of press information that Spurlock doled out to the public in advance has been laden with buzzword terminology, dubbing Holy Chicken not as an actual restaurant, but instead as an authentic, mission driven farm to table, all natural, transparent, local-licious chicken experience.
Yeah, see, fuck off already, Morgan. Go buy a Ferrari with your money, buddy, and just fuck, go to hell, man. Go get a cabin in the woods where you can just be satisfied by yourself.
Why does he come here to? I feel like I'm being lectured. Like, I feel kind of mad at Morgan Spurlock now. You know, he came
it's
here
aggressive.
Another time, too. And he was like, oh, I can't live in this city on minimum wage.
Yeah, his 30 days of show came here and it was a good job. He went to that Walmart up on Morse Road, which is like a fucking
is the first one is one of the first ones.
It's I mean, it's like an open air flea market basically. Like it looks like a place that like James Bond would have a getaway through. I mean, there's shitloads of crime there. It's the standard Walmart. Like, everybody there is trying to fucking steal. It's packed at every hour of the day. Shit's falling over. It's disgusting on the inside. That's how Walmarts are. I'm not trying to be fucking classist about this
Walmart
shit.
Is a hellscape. Every time I go in there, Every time I go in there, I'm like, none of this place is set up for me, my friend.
Yeah, this is not, I don't like shit just thrown. I don't want a pallet thrown on the ground while people fucking fight over it.
And we are saying, yes, we go to Target because we prefer their aesthetics over Walmart. Sure. Okay.
We'll tell you more about that later.
But yeah, so what happened is he did these interviews over the past week, and it's not to notice how many holes he pokes into his concept with the language plastered on the walls of the restaurant. So, like, here's one of the signs, Brett. Not sure what all these words, because he had all the farm to take, right?
Yeah, this is his tricky. He's the M. Night Shyamalan
restaurant dining experiences.
Documentarian.
Yeah, and this motherfucker ran out at 3 o'clock every day, and it's like, man, that ain't running a restaurant, dude.
Yeah, you got to be able to
come on
to meet the hours on the door.
Yeah, what's
so what happened? Sorry.
Great, because legally speaking, they don't mean much. We use them.
What words? You got to restart over. Sorry, dude.
It's just those authentic mission-driven, farm-to-table, all-natural, trans-para-local-licious chicken experience, okay? And he's like, not sure what all those words actually mean? Great, because legally speaking, they don't mean much. We use them everywhere to surround holy chicken and what the fast food industry calls a health halo.
We fucking knew that, Morgan. We went to fucking get fast food from a teenager. We're buying chicken for less than a dollar, okay? We know that it isn't the fucking best thing to eat, so don't treat us like we got tricked or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't call it... So, of course, while some customers may feel deceived by Holy Chicken during its quick run, Spurlock is hiding his intentions in broad daylight. Take-home containers, attenders proclaim of their chicken that we never even called it fried. Like, so they're saying that it's all the same food. But he's saying, wake up, sheeple. That is, it is a wake up, sheeple restaurant experience.
Basically, if the Illuminati Killer's Instagram account got to run a fast food restaurant, it would be this.
Yeah. Yeah. Brett and I mean, if you can do that, like if you can open up a restaurant and scream at people about your politics, we'll definitely do that.
Oh, yeah. I would love that. I can get in there. I can definitely get in on that. But yeah. he did it in old Wendy's, though, right?
Yeah, he did do it in an old Wendy's.
And the people that I read like the sandwich. Like, I wish he would just do the sandwich. Like, stop being you, Morgan. Just turn that off, whatever that is in you that just can't ruin everybody's fucking time and be super assumptive and judgmental as fuck, man.
Yeah, yeah. He had to eat McDonald's every day for a month to figure it out. We already know it's unhealthy.
Right. But why does it? Yeah, I don't know why it has to be so aggressive.
I know. I know. I agree. I mean, I would eat there, though. I'll go. I mean, most of the people that went there probably weren't mad about it, and they weren't really, they didn't care.
They probably just got it. I mean, yeah, it's just like when someone an acquaintance has a weird hobby or something, you just put up with it. You're like, I don't know. They think it's funny right now. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I don't get it. It's just a phase. Yeah. He just thinks he's like culture jamming or something, and he has too much money.
Yeah. Do you think there's got to be a few people that went there and were like, I'm going to look at things a little bit different now? Because I did. There was a period of my life, like in my 20s, where every documentary I saw made me want to change my life.
I mean, I still get that. I love them. I find them highly, like, they're good to work to. But I always try to find, if I get a nugget of truth, man, I just got to run with it, you know? Like, that 13th Amendment is good all the way through. It was perfect. It was everything I love about documentaries.
Yeah. I haven't watched one in a long time.
When you're like, what? No way. Shit. And just keep doing it all for like an hour or for like 90 minutes running time or whatever. They just keep fucking pummeling you with shit that blows you away. And you're like, we got to change shit today, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Too bad we don't all watch it at the same time. Notice these became popular in the Netflix years where we're all watching at different times. Because if we all watched like the way Roots was the only thing on TV for those nights, like if we only watched like just that movie that's when revolution's possible.
Yeah, PBS did some of that with like their concussion thing, right?
I guess, yeah, but I mean, I didn't tune into PBS.
But you could have. You were just talking about having the option.
I know. What I'm saying
people
is
aren't
I never tuned
like
in.
Lost.
What?
It's not like Lost or The Walking Dead.
Exactly. I need that. That's as documentary as I need. Like, what would happen if I was trapped on an island? What would happen?
I got a really good Harvey Milk one from the library that I swear to God is probably not on iTunes or nowhere else. And it was good.
Yeah. You go and get like special ones.
I like to just have them on.
Yeah. Well, I did watch all the ones about the Columbus neighborhoods, of course.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah, those are all
good.
Yeah,
I mean, they still are good. It is harder to get more in the mood, and I'm not as much of a mark for it. You're right.
Yeah, that's kind of where like, I'm at, too.
I mean, I have had my mind blown on so many things that I realize I can't do shit about. I'm not trying to find out some more bad shit right now.
I mean,
know?
I really did quit eating fast food, basically. Like any of the low level fast foods, which by the way, I'm still eating.
You're
like
still Chipotle. Fast cash here. You do fast cash.
Yeah, well, they're all the same, basically. They're just they're a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
I guess that's what makes me feel like, well, it's gotta be good. They're charging me more.
Yeah.
I guess that was Morgan Spurlock's whole point. But
I think they do a better job. I mean, they like name the animals and like give them sweaters and shit for the holidays.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they're nicer to them. They sing them songs and shit.
I mean, Five Guys doesn't, though.
No, Five Guys.
Like, this is better than any old McDonald's burger.
Sure. Like, I mean, not frozen.
Yeah.
Maybe not made from a paste.
Yeah. I woke up this morning to a picture, to an ad on my phone of, it was a fucking... The little round thing sitting on a griddle and an egg cracked in there, and it's just cooking in this round thing to make like a circular egg McMuffin shaped egg, and they pull it off and it just says McDonald's all natural, and I'm like, motherfucker, they don't even let you, like, they don't even trust you to do the grilling like that. You just pull the thing down and it pops up when it's done.
Right. And I thought it was like a powder thing. Like it's not a scrambled egg. That yellow, like flat pancake thing that they fold up and put on the biscuit is not. There's no way that's a cracked egg.
Well, I mean, that's
that has to come out of a jar.
I know. I don't remember what. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure it's a powdered egg that they just
like
dump in a bunch of things.
McMuffin, it has to be a real egg in the ring. But you're like you said, you just basically you have like a hood that comes over the grill that drops down the shaped egg and everything, and you're just responsible for taking them off.
That was my job at McDonald's. Like for the first 2 or 3 months, I just would take like 12. Hamburgers and lay them on a grill and then pull the thing down and then stand there and it would pop up and I would scoop, like just put the burgers onto a thing and then stick them in a like something. I don't know. It's like a warmer, I guess.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
they would get turned into hamburgers whenever the guy decided
plastic
to do
bins. Yeah. Them fucking nasty ass steamy plastic bins.
Yes. Yeah, that was my job for the first while. Then I finally got myself in a drive-thru. And I fell in love with the drive-thru. It's where I fell in love with the song "This Is How We Do It" because it was real popular that year, and okay. Every single car that pulled up
was
listening to this.
Hey, I know you're having a good time.
It does make me. I drove by a bunch of kids getting out of school on a Friday. Last Friday when I was working, like the high school let out right by. There's a high school it's like an artsy high school. You can tell it's like a charter artsy, like kind of high school thing that's run by Ohio State. And these guys, the kids were out there and they just looked so happy. And I'm like, man, Friday was rad when I did things.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was the day. They're playing Juju on the beat already.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, every Friday night I would be like, shit, I'm working, but I get to hear Montel Jordan all day. And then when you get off, it's like that puts you in a pretty good mood later on.
Kick this off. Let's get started.
That's when I learned that's when I started monkey wrenching, I think. That was when I got my hankering to monkey wrench. Was like, I remember being in that little back room in the drive-thru where you're taking the money. And you're taking the orders, okay? Those are your two jobs in the back room. And then the other room, you're filling the drinks and you're handing the orders out the window, okay? So, like, I remember being in the room where I took the money and I was just, like, sitting there doing nothing because there were no cars coming through. you know, I'm very relaxed. I'm like, oof, lucky for us, none of the lucky for us, there's no work to do, right, guys? You know, that's what I'm thinking in my mind. And somebody was like, what are you doing? Like the boss. And I'm like, I don't really have any. There's nobody coming through the drive-thru.
I'm just waiting for someone to come. I don't see nobody.
Yeah, they were like, no, when you're in here, you go out and get the trays.
Time to lean. You got time to clean.
Exactly. That's when, I mean, maybe that was the time. When my job, when I started to fucking hate the world, like the that basis, whole thing.
That's funny. That's the basis of work.
Yes. Yeah. I just remember I was sitting there and they brought me these trays and like a wet rag. And they're like, you got to clean this stack of trays. That's what we do back here when there's no work. There's never no work.
That's why Hill Jacks want kids to have jobs to break them in. It's like you're going to want to have to lean, but you're going to have to clean instead.
It's never, you're not, you
never
There's
sit. No breaks now. Now you're a worker. You don't take breaks. They will ask you sometimes to work through them, and you need to do that.
Yeah. The time is their time. Like, they're buying your time, and they want every second of it. They don't want you to have any seconds while you're on their while they've paid you for their time.
They get all the seconds.
The only thing you can really do is get seconds. Like, your whole day, my whole day when I was working, like, a real job, was trying to get some seconds.
Same here. Like, as many as I could. Like, when I was doing boxes per hour and folding per hour at the Abercrombie warehouse, it would be like, all right, so I plan on doing this for 4 hours today. I have to do 50 items an hour, so I just got to hit 200 and I'm done. And I would just fucking fly through 200, convince someone to help me a little bit, and then I'd have 2 or 3 hours to myself to do whatever I want in the fucking warehouse.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite thing about my DM. I asked for DMs of people's monkey wrenching stories or their time theft stories. Man, a lot of people like build a fort. You know, we've talked about that a few times this month, but that's like, if there's people sleeping on time theft, when I was a cable guy, if I would get 8 jobs a day. Okay. And they were paying me about, when I left, I was making like $18 an hour, but I was making like I started out at $9.50. You know what I mean?
You worked hard. You worked real hard.
Yeah. I worked $8 hard.
Yeah. This is back in the, how long ago is this?
I started in 2000.
That's and think about where wages are at right now.
No, I started in 2002. I'm sorry. I worked 2002.
And $9 was the starting wage. And how far did $9 go in 2002?
$9 an hour?
Yeah.
Those were tough years. Those was a few tough years.
Really? I mean, everything was so much cheaper, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And things were cheaper, but gas was already getting expensive. It was expensive for the time. It was like those times where you're like, oh, gas is... Oh, getting up there to $1.70 a lot lately.
Yeah, but people are getting paid at $9 right now too.
I know, I know.
And my rent is double what it was back then.
I know. That's what I keep. $9 wasn't enough then. It's not enough now. I was living with my sister when I was making $9.50 an hour. My wife and I had to live with my sister.
Right.
We're both.
I got my car repoed when I was making $9.50 an hour.
Yeah, $9.50 like an. Columbus, Ohio wages in 2002, it really kind of did feel like you were balling. You were like, I think I can afford to live off of this. You know,
sure.
A full $2 more than anybody else has paid me.
Yes, yes. I'm a little ahead of the game.
Yeah. So I would go in. I worked there for, I think, 7 years and got up to, I think it was 1688 or something like that. Like, well, and that was kind of a living wage for me. I live such a, but I was still behind on all my bills. It doesn't matter what I make.
No, that's why I'm at too. I mean, that's the same way. I mean, that's like $35,000 a year. And I don't work, but my wife makes about, if two people made $35,000 a year and we can't pay shit on time and all of the student loans are now garnished from her wages.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
and it doesn't go anywhere. It's nothing you can live on. And I'm doing better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, that's what blows me away is we've been doing a lot of research for this Make Black Friday Red and about a lot of the wealth distribution. I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, fuck, I thought I was bougie.
So I thought I was.
Everybody does. I think I'm bougie, and I'm like, I'm fucking struggling. I'm like, I'm not getting nowhere. Man, my fingers are about to get, they're about to step on my fingers, and I'm going to fall back in to check cash every single 2 weeks, man. I'm about there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man. That's why we're encouraging the monkey wrenching this month.
But my wife, though, was hanging out with people where both people made that amount of money.
Okay, yeah,
so that changes everything.
Yeah, that makes things a lot different. Yeah.
Right.
So, I've been getting these stories about, because understandably, everybody hates their fucking jobs. You know, I mean, they hate some things about
everybody hates their jobs.
Not everybody hates their
jobs out there.
People work.
We have a lot of jobs that people could not. We have a lot of people that could like their jobs if they were placed in the right place and just treated okay for it.
Yeah, if they were given. I mean, a lot. Yeah, exactly. This I want
to
read.
People would like to pitch in and they want to be recognized for it, and they deserve to get. They deserve not to be on the edge of stabbing or stealing to make ends meet.
Yeah. I hate it when people say, well, actually, a full day's work should not guarantee. Like, it doesn't. Some jobs are just easy.
Bullshit.
Some are just teenagers.
Bullshit.
Let's just err on the side of all jobs pay a living wage, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if it, I don't
it's
think
way better.
I mean, honestly, a teenager's work isn't worth less than an 18-year-old person's
work. No, thanks
work.
For putting in an. Thanks for putting in the time, kiddo.
Yeah.
You're one of us now. You fucking worked. You went and manned a goddamn register the same goddamn way I would.
You
probably did it. You looked better and had a better fucking attitude about it, too.
Yeah. You grilled, man. You did the grill.
There's actually one of my favorite. And I looked up when they were hiring just to be, because I was curious. One of my favorite places back in Virginia is this. They do steak burgers, kind of like Steak and Shake, but they also had a veggie burger, and it was our favoriteest ever. And the kids in there that ran the place were like really fucking sharp and good at what they did. And they were getting paid like almost $13 an hour to do it.
Uh-oh.
And they were, it was the fucking best place to go every single time. They were chipper and nice, and like, the food was always fucking delicious. And I was like, this just is a matter of quality of treatment is what you get in the final. You know, yeah. What comes out at the end.
You don't treat people like hell, they'll probably won't mind working for you.
Right.
You know? I'm that way. Like, I've liked all my jobs. I've just hated all my managers. And I know that, like, that's a normal. Like, there were times when I had these jobs in the past. Not all of them. Like, roofing, I don't think was ever going to be the kind of job. I mean, I started in November and quit in January. And it was industrial roofing. And I was standing on very tall buildings in the middle of December. And I just remember thinking, like, this is definitely not what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But there were dudes there. They were going to do it. And they weren't mad about it either.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. But the problem is that, like, yeah, jobs may suck and you have to gut it out and everything. But in exchange for doing that, you shouldn't be also crying on the phone with a fucking bill collector to get like 3 extra days on a payment or something to not lose your fucking vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are living a completely fucking stressed out life in addition to doing the most stressful jobs that there is, or the most disgusting and the most unwanted jobs are treated with the most scorn. You know, that someone would be as low as a trash, someone that takes care of the trash, which is one of the most essential thing. As soon as we wake up in the morning, we start fucking creating trash, you know?
Yeah.
So somebody's got to take care of that. And we expect other people to do that shit. But not for them to be not for them to be homeowners.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I was like, I was driving the other night, right? And I had these people in the car, and they were like, so how long do you usually drive? And I'm like, I don't know. It just depends on how much money I need. And they're like, well, how late do you usually go? And I'm like, usually as late as I need to go to get the amount of money that I want. And they're like, how late are you going to go tonight? And I'm like, well, tonight I have to pay my gas bill, or they're going to turn it off tomorrow. So I'm going to go until that's paid.
Yeah, that's what I'm shooting for. I have goals. I don't do this based on time. It's money. It's a money thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There's numbers that got to be hit.
Yeah, so I don't know how late I'm going to be out. I don't know. I got 2 days here to pay this gas bill. But like,
yeah, what were they doing? Writing a story about it or something? Why, yeah, they, why mean, do they
people,
care?
People ask you about it a you're lot fucking because working, they want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or yeah, they you're working. You know, like, I guess people just talk to you about. I mean, they just want to talk to you. They're in your car.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I wanted to read like this story about work, about a little monkey wrenching thing from work.
Yes,
that was really
definitely.
Funny that I got my DMs. And it's, I remember when I used to work to go orders at a restaurant, I really hated that he would just memorize the price of a drink and offer them into customers, and when they paid, just kept the money.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. You get people that pay cash, you just give them the food and then void out the transaction and keep the cash. That's a classic, man. They got too much cameras now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're keeping track, but yeah, that's an old one back in
the
day.
But a lot of people I know, that is a common, that was the first, I got this 2 days ago,
that's
right?
Just,
I got this 2 days ago, first person that said that. I hadn't thought about it all month. I was like, oh, that is a classic stealing technique.
Well, that's just when you have to have the guts to do it. I mean, you just literally have to be like, void that order, cash in the pocket, like, and you have to be able to regulate. Here's the problem with those schemes, though. Like the free PS4 scheme, you can't let it snowball. You have to just do it to get $10 a day, like beer money or something, you know?
Yeah.
People start going for like $100 a day. I burned myself on it too, man. I was reselling gift cards. It's how I eventually got fired from the Abercrombie warehouse. I would buy a $500 gift card with my 60% off discount.
Woo!
Yeah, for $200, and I'd sell them some bitches for like $400 or $450.
That deal.
It was like printing money, man. Like
I'm shaking right now. Like I wish maybe that you're getting video, but that's a big money. That
I know.
Is a big
thousands.
Money.
We yeah. went. I went on vacation for a whole month because I got a couple thousand off that.
You could have gone to Japan or some shit.
I know. I could have just. That was my chance to get the fuck out, and I wasted it.
That was your.
On Cervezas in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Man, imagine if, because I remember when I was a teen, I came into a big amount of weed for free, and I made a bunch of money. But I would literally go spend all the money I made that day at the mall the next day and buy clothes. Like I had like, I remember I got pulled over by the police one time because I just had the flyest Adidas outfit. I had the whole fucking tracksuit on.
The same one that you replaced the one after the wisdom teeth?
Yeah, no, this was like the pants, the shirt, and a windbreaker. Like
what
the
color?
Windbreaker pants, blue. Like I always
navy?
Wore. Yeah, like a navy type of blue. And it had the white stripes down the sides.
Okay.
And then I had the jacket on with the white stripes down the sleeves. And it said Adidas up in the corner.
With
and
the
it,
leaf?
And then I had, like, the freshest blue T-shirt, like Adidas leaf T-shirt on.
Uh-huh.
And then I wasn't wearing a hat at the
you
time.
You were dipped.
Oh, my God, was I ever. And I had some really nice shell toes on. And I had just, like, every teenager in the neighborhood was, like, dressed like this.
Okay, wanted to be figgety fresh.
Well, just because all my friends
you guys are like a decade later than Run DMC, though.
Yeah, Korn wore Adidas.
Korn, you're right. I forgot it was Korn. I actually, one listener to the show, and she was on once, Lauren, wrote in our high school newspaper about Jonathan Davis's, he had green. Oh shit! What am I trying to say? He had like the Adidas pants, but the
velour pants.
No, they had like fucking confetti. It looked like confetti.
Ooh, okay.
Macrame or whatever that shit is.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Super
I didn't read the story.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know it. He had those back. He was the. You're right. He was the spokesman for Adidas at the time.
Yeah,
they had the song.
Yeah, the cops started harassing all the teens because, like, me and all my friends, and there's, you know, 15 of us, and we got a lot of weed, and we were just selling it like crazy, and they were bothering us. The police were, like, constantly suspicious.
I mean, when anytime, now that I think about my younger days, and anytime the police bothered me, they should have been, and I deserved all of it, and, you know, I do think that if they really have to bully some of the dumber kids in town, it's probably better than, like, killing the black citizens.
Yeah, it's just like, where did you get those clothes? Where did you get, what's going on around? Like, what's going on here?
Is there a gun? You guys aren't gonna you're not gonna shoot a gun tonight, right? Nobody has too serious. Do you have real? Is that real X, or do you have some fake ass shit that's gonna give someone a heart attack?
No, he's selling weed. Like, I don't think they even. I'm sure they did, they weren't like running a sting or anything like that on us, but it probably
no. It's just
very
obvious.
Yeah. All the same, back. You know the other good scam for getting stuff out of work that has come up a lot this week is hiding shit in a dumpster.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic. When I worked for the company, I worked for this clothing company that did resale, and so they would have vintage items, used items, and I would take a bunch out to the trash. I'd fill a trash can full of them, take it out to the garbage, and then pick it up later. I've mentioned that before.
Yeah,
it's common.
That's
sorry.
Good.
We mentioned
the
Lowe's scheme where you are a contractor and you roll up a dumpster. So what do we got now?
Yeah, I just love it. I wanted to just get those two out there because
we mentioned those ones.
Yeah. Yeah, let me see what else we got here. Yeah, I love this.
I used to also steal. So I worked at this place where it's resold clothes. So I would be strapped for cash, or basically I'd want a new video game, and I would take my clothes up there. I would sell them to the store and then steal them from the store, and that was basically another way to print money. I was, I think that I should have been one of those characters from like a hacker movie where they just hire me to show them how not to have people steal money from them. Like, I can point out all the holes. I can't change who I am, but because I always find like those weaknesses in the system, and I exploit the shit out of them.
The weakness in the system in regards to like shoplifting is just having the guts to do it. It's all out there for the taking, really. Like,
they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, and you're
it's
always
all fake. It's like the war on terror. It's like the cops. They can't control or do anything. They just do a lot of pretending, and about 99% of people fall in line.
It's like the missiles in front of the Pentagon when it comes to shoplifting. Like, they
exactly 9/11, they fucking got our asses, and there was no advanced system that we've been seeing on all the movies to take care of any of that shit.
Yeah, so their surveillance is only, I mean, their surveillance is beatable, okay? Like, look at how much they're paying the people to make sure that people don't steal.
They don't give a fuck. Yeah, they don't pay people enough to give a fuck. And that's the other thing, too, is if you took care of enough people, they wouldn't cross that line.
No reason to shop.
I have worked ethically at places before.
Me, too. Any place that I thought
it was fair.
Hold on a second.
I have had a few fair deals in my time.
Yeah. You probably still stealing time, though. Still, just at the very bare minimum, you're stealing time, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, of course. So, man, we're off to...
I don't give them 100. I give them what they want. That's where a lot of people actually are with jobs these days, is that I know folks that are time thefting out there is just saying, yeah, it's really hard to get those results on the project. So I'm going to take 3 hours to do it. And it takes no time at all, you know?
Yeah. Give them what they want. Adjust your work ethic to the minimum amount that they will take, because trust that they're paying you the minimum amount. And, you know, there are people out there that are getting a fair deal. And they're like, hey, I'm fucking cool with it. Don't steal then. Please, don't take our advice in that department. But
it's getting more cutthroat, though. I mean, it's becoming more independent. It's becoming more like everybody's become an independent contractor. No one can get a fucking fair employment at all.
Everybody works for an app now. Everybody's boss is an app.
Yeah, TaskRabbit or fucking Amazon MTurk. They're clicking around for 8 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my boss is an app, and if the app screws up, then you're just like,
I got a hot tip. I have a hot tip that I got in my DMs. There's an app called Ibotta, and it's a grocery app, and you can trade in coupons. Basically, it's like digital coupons. So there'll be a promotion. If you buy this special milk and you scan the barcode and then take a picture of the receipt, we'll credit your account $1. And, you know, it's like a digital coupon. You get to cash it out with PayPal and everything. Well, somebody told me that you can pretty much claim all the discounts you want and use this website called upc.org that has like a public registry of every UPC.
We need one of those, though. That's important to have a public registry of every UPC.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's the central database. So you go on there and say, you know, you have Coke on your receipt. You can just say you bought whatever item they give you a discount on. And then you go to this website and scan the barcode. And it works. $14 so far in one shopping trip. So let me get this for you. It's barcodelookup.com is the name. Barcodelookup.com. Give it a shot and DM me or text me if you have my number or email me. I'm not going to write this information out there, but I will give it to you if you ask.
Yeah, please don't write that. I mean, if people are getting a good deal.
Yeah, this is what a great way to exploit this system. And it's just cost like the dummies at General Mills just for pretending like you bought the fucking Honey Nut Cheerios that they wanted you to buy.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't buy
it. Well, and you know the thing about a lot of these apps on I have personal experience with this. So these coupon apps on your phone where you get rebates, if you go to Amazon MTurk, they pay you like 7 to 25 cents to go and look at people's receipts and verify that it has the right information on it.
Yeah.
That it matches up. And they're not paying anybody enough to care.
No.
I did it. I did it already and was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, yes, 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 next. Give me my 8 cents. Yes, 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 next. Give me my 19 cents.
Yeah. What's the point? I mean, I guess it's just busy work. It's like
it's busy work.
It's just busy because that's what we always talk about. We talk about that a lot with jobs, too, is that like they don't need you for 8 hours. You know,
no.
Most jobs, listen, people out there that you do your full 8 hours while you're there. Hey,
well, I mean, nurses and doctors probably got to put a full 8 in.
Yeah, they get. Yeah. But like as far as like, I mean, cable guys, roofers,
all the people office that
workers,
you are.
Office workers.
Okay.
Office work. They don't need 8 hours of any office workers.
Office workers need to renegotiate their pay. I think they really need to have, we need to have a day of reckoning where they say, I do a solid 13 hours a week and I will take the same pay if you will just release me from this 40-hour contract.
Yeah.
I will give you a bonus 7. I will do 20 hours if you, and I will do on the clock 20 hours if you will just let me out of this 40-hour a week contract.
It's such a weird fucking relationship you have with a job. Like when I worked at the cable company, I'd be done 4 hours early. And I would have to go sit in a parking lot somewhere.
Just wait it out.
Wait the 4 hours. If there was no other work, there would be like, why don't you come back here and clean out your truck then? And then maybe we can find you some work and you can go out and get some work done. It's like, how about I just fucking go somewhere and read a book?
Man? I think the work's done.
Yeah. And this would always happen on like, you know, a holiday or the day before a holiday where like nobody wants you at their house on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, rooting around, digging in shit, messing up all the nice decorations.
Yeah. So we would always like as employee, like as a kind of a contract with each other, we'd always push it as far as we could, you know? So you're supposed to get off work at 8. I came in last night at 6:30. Nobody said nothing. And so everybody started coming in at 6:30 every day. And then they were like, hey, you can't just come in at 6:30. You're here until 8. And we'd be like, well, I didn't take a lunch or any breaks.
That's the way to do it. You're charging me for those, but even if I don't take them?
Yeah. Yeah. So I shaved an hour and a half. It was 2 15-minute breaks. And I'm taking them all right now at my house. And they were like, you can't do that. So then they would be like, you're not allowed to come back earlier than 7:30. And then within 6 months, we creeped back to 6:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a constant, like, that was what working was like for me. It was a constant, like, let's see how much we can get away with. Oh, shit. They figured out how to stop us from getting away with it. Let's figure out a new way to get away with it.
Sure, sure. That's how it goes.
That's any job. That's any manual labor job. Nobody wants to fucking carry stuff if they don't have to. Nobody wants to do manual labor if it doesn't need to be done.
Yeah. Oh, I have a great monkey wrenching tale if you want it.
I do more than anything.
I'm going to try to keep it as anonymous as I can, but I don't think we have a big enough reach to cause a problem in anyone's life. But there is somebody I know of that is responsible for delivering important items, medical items, and they come in a case. Okay.
24 pack? Like,
yeah, like a briefcase.
Like beer?
Oh, no, okay. A briefcase full of like important medical supplies that comes from like a clinic specialized place.
I like this.
Here's what happens. So the labor has been whittled down to the point of they pay independent couriers to drive these suitcases full of medicine to the hospitals that are within driving distance, 3 to 6 hours away. They go and deliver these things. Now, what happens? Someone is dispatched to go deliver these things. When they show up at the hospital, they're supposed to collect any cases that were left behind. You know, sometimes there might be 10 cases from other drop-offs, things like that. Someone hasn't been in a while. They get billed up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So the company then says, all right, guys, we're going to keep paying you to keep delivering these cases, but we're going to decrease the pay about 10%. We unfortunately can't pay you the same price for what you do.
Ugh, I think you used to do that all the fucking time to us. Hey, you know that bonus we was doing? No, Lyft just did that recently. They have a power driver bonus.
Yeah.
And they sent it, they raised the amount of rides you need to get that bonus, right? And when they sent the email, they're like, the power driver bonus was started in 2014 as a limited time proposition to get people to do more driving.
Wow. 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 Hey guys, you always kind of have our back against the wall here, expecting that you're going to get that much money all the time.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah. Well, and they were just saying, like, you know, we're being pretty nice for keeping this bonus around.
Jeez Louise, don't you think we're pretty great, right? Three cheers for Lyft.
Yeah, my cable job would do a lot of that, too. They'd be like, so every year they would give us $100 Christmas bonus, which is fucking like, holy shit, nobody does this anymore. And then... they would give us another $100 Christmas bonus on each paycheck.
Right, right.
And it was just great.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
That's everything.
But every year in about like September, October, they'd be like, I don't think you're going to be getting those Christmas bonuses anymore.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers. They just sent the numbers in.
Yeah.
They don't have any sort of foreshadowing of a Christmas bonus.
No, I don't think a Christmas bonus is going to happen. Then every year they'd be like, aren't we great? This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's also like, but like, yeah.
So you cut off. So the ending of this story.
No, I'm saying. Okay. Like that's how that like all there are a lot of jobs that cut.
Right.
Their pay. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. They always scale it back. So this person's response to this was to they're delivering this medicine, they're going and picking up like 10 cases or whatever in response. So they say, well, I guess if I'm getting paid to deliver one case, I'm only going to bring one case back.
Then. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So they're now leaving 9 behind. And then they're getting to the point where it's like, wait, we're supposed to have more empty cases. Why didn't you bring any back? And everybody's saying, oh, no, I deliver one case and I bring one case back. That's our agreement.
Yeah.
And so now they're having to pay everybody for extra time. People are getting extra hours now and extra runs because they have to go pick up those extra 9 cases that were left behind. And it's like bubbling. This is happening small time. Yeah. But like, I mean, like, if you're petty enough and you're stuck at your job, you might as well make it this much of a clusterfuck for the management.
I mean, if you don't like your job and they're cutting your pay and they're tightening up on you,
disrupt.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to do without getting fired. Okay, it's very easy.
Even for a brief period of time. I mean, eventually they're going to take that guy in and say, you either cut the shit or you're never going to be a courier again. And that's what it's going to be. Like, yeah. There's no union. There's no rep. I mean, he might be able to. Who knows what it's going to be? I mean, but you at least have a little taste. You get to just take a little bit out of them, you know?
Yeah.
Fight back. Strike back.
It feels good. It definitely feels good. It feels like I did when I didn't have any customers at the drive through the first time.
Sure.
It was like, shit, I can get used to this work. And if there's no customers, I'm getting paid to be here instead. This is great.
There's a lot of dirty trays, Brian.
I know. Get them fucking trays. And when you finish the trays, mop the floor back here. I just mopped it. Oh, well, I mean, it
needs more.
Mopped. Yeah. Mop it again.
We make food back here.
So, all right, man. Hey, if you're listening in Columbus, come to our show.
Exactly. November 26th, 2016, this Saturday, we're going to do Make Black Friday Red. Our rundown of the entire holiday is happening.
Black Friday. Actually, it's turned into the Black Friday experience, too. I mean, we are
living it up.
Just like the ghosts. We're doing the Black Friday lifestyle right now.
Yeah, we're being very thorough about it. So pay attention to Instagram, YouTube, pay attention to all of that. We went and showed you a way to do a little bit of a cheat, a little grift on holiday cards this afternoon. So that's coming out. For those of you that can't make it to Columbus to see the show, if you donate to our Patreon, $5 a month, go to patreon.com/streetfightradio. You get to watch the show absolutely free. We have a fantastic fucking guy that comes out, Pete.
Fantastic fucking dude.
He's
man.
Great. Pete Beltre, man. He fell right into our lap. He was a hookup from a listener. And, I mean, he's the best goddamn guy. I saw him doing some anti-Trump and anti-Clinton shit the night of the elections. Like, it just was a synergy thing. He's a brilliant guy, and he's going to help us do the video. And he did it last time, and he's going to keep doing it. So get to see the show absolutely free if you donate $5 a month. If you haven't given it a shot, you can go and get some of the rewards that we have, including letters, zines, and records. Now, I do have to let you know, this is an extremely small time operation, and like all of the stuff that happens is basically me doing it.
I want to help. You got to call me.
I know. Okay? If you haven't got your shit yet, it's because I need one roll of postage stamps, and I'm waiting for like 2 to 9 day shipping on the son of a bitch, and I can't print until I get it. And I don't have enough money in the account. Like, I don't know. It's a fucked up situation, but this is what you should expect from us. But it is getting ironed out, and it is like on schedule. You'll get your shit mailed within this month.
Hey,
but maybe the last day of the month.
Hey, we're going to get, you're going to run out of time to buy this Looney Tunes t-shirt.
Exactly.
I'm fucking telling you, man. Every time we have a t-shirt, people get it and they're like, shit. Other people are like, that's a fly ass t-shirt. Where did you get that thing? And it's like, oh, I got it from shop.streetfight.com. And then they're like, well, I'm going to go get myself one. Too fucking bad, dude. This shit's limited, baby.
Yeah. And the way that we do it, it's store.streetfightradio.com. The way that we do it, it's all pre-order.
Sorry
now,
about that.
Here's the thing. We talked about clothing. We support clothing. We're not nudists. People got to cover up. We understand that. I'm not trying to fill the world with too many t-shirts. I know there's plenty of audio of me admonishing the whole idea, but at the same time, we have a great shirt that we came up with. It's bootleg, so we're ripping off Warner Brothers. It's the shirt's made in the USA. The cotton that it is made of is from Virginia, is made in the USA cotton, like all the way through, which means that the people had terrible working conditions, like the kind of working conditions that we complain about. Not like the kind where you're like, you know, not like the desperate kind of scary kind.
Okay, yeah.
Just the regular American kind of bad working conditions.
Yeah, I'm sure those cotton fields are not.
No, it sucks. Joy. It's probably, thank you illegal immigrants for making that possible, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
It's like American Apparel. But like...
of our hands are dirty, baby.
That's where we're at, and we're being open and honest about it. But but it is a pre-order basis. Like, I don't want to make... I don't want to print 1,000 of these and try to sell them. If you want one... you have until the end of the month to order one. Get it in store.streetfightradio.com. They're $28. And
give it to your millennial son.
Exactly.
You know, or get it for another millennial. Really, they would love this thing.
If you want to show people you're not a Democrat, this is like has all the symbols that scare those people away, that make them have a conversation about you, about how radical your politics actually are.
And somebody from the, I mean, if you want to connect with Trump voters or somebody from the Midwest, that might be the type of shirt to get them to pay attention to you.
Sure.
Taking their beloved Bugs and Taz, making them bad leftist icons.
And
that shirt's so fucking cool, though, guys. I want one.
You're getting one.
Well, you guys all need to get one, too, then. Let's all get the same shirt and wear it together.
You can get an international version. You can get it internationally as well. This is the first one that's going around the world. So go to store. STORE store.streetfightradio.com and you can pre-order the shirt and we'll have them there before Christmas. And
notice we didn't do this in the middle of the show. We waited until the end so you guys can all have turned this off 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, if you made it this far, if we go into the final part, we aren't going to put any bonus content in or anything. It's going to be like the ad shit.
No, we're done, actually, right
and,
now.
And this is, our goal is not to advertise for piece of shit companies like a Blue Apron or a Loot Crate. We want to build our own thing, and we're doing enough shit ourselves. So that's where we're heading with this. Please continue to support us. Find us. We're on Instagram. We're on Snapchat. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. The username is Street Fight WCRS. I'm on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. The name is the same on all platforms. It's at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN. You can find Brian on Twitter at Murder Brian, MURDERBRYAN. We are Street Fight. Peace.